We salute you, beloved, in the name of the risen Christ, our Savior, the one who laid down his life for our sins and is hereby sitting at the right hand of his Father on the throne, making intercession for us. We are thankful to our Heavenly Father for his fresh and tender mercies, his undeserved grace, unfailing and unconditional love that brought and brings the New Maywood Church family together in this virtual sanctuary just for the privilege, for the purpose of worshiping him who deserves our worship. What a blessing it is to gather around the table of the Word of God and to feast on what he would say through his lowly servant to our hearts, to equip, to empower, to encourage, and strengthen us as we run this Christian race, in spite of the many valley experiences through which we now journey. Every year, there comes a time in the life of sheep when grazing has left the summer pastures bare, and the shepherd must lead his flock into higher ground in order to find new fields. What I'm saying, church, is that every one of us go through valley experiences in our lives. In fact, these valley experiences are a part of life. And if I may freely speak, valleys are not dead ends. And the disappointments, the frustrations, the discouragements and the dilemmas of life, although they are valleys, should not be classified as disaster. David, in Psalm 23, refers to them as a shadow. And so I further strongly suggest to you, beloved, that the valley is the only route to our own personal promised land. There is no alternate route. In the life of sheep, these journeys to higher ground sometimes last for months. They can be treacherous. There are poisonous plants on the path. The climbing can be difficult and dangerous. Wild animals can attack. The weather can turn bad. There are serpents coiled, poised to strike. There are wolves ready to pounce upon the sheep to make a meal of them. And yet, the valley experiences are necessary. They are needful for the sheep to continue to grow to healthy maturity. To grow to healthy maturity. Yea, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David says. And the valley that David has in mind was like a gully among the hills, a deep, dark, abrupt ravine with steep, jagged sides and a narrow floor. The valley of the shadow of death should be translated the valley of deep darkness, which can include death. It was a dreadful and dangerous place for sheep. And yet, the valley with all of its dangers is actually a part of the shepherd's plan. Notice with me, please, in verse 4, how he relates to what he closes verse 3. Verse 4, he says in verse 3, he leads me in the path of righteousness. And he opens verse 4 by saying, one of those paths lead through the valley. Which the shepherd takes the flock. Or leads the flock through. The sheep can go through this dark and dangerous and dreadful ravine with courage. Just because they know the shepherd has led them there. A pit stop lesson right here, please. And I say again, we will walk through the valley of the shadow many times in our lives. And it's not because God has abandoned us. It's not because the Christian life doesn't work. It's because valleys are simply a part of our journey. This means now that none of us have a dark valley exemption. At one time or another, we all walk through the valley. When we are walking with the shepherd, the dark valley always lead to higher ground. Haven't you known people? Can we talk for a minute? Haven't you known people? I'm going to take that to be a yes. Who have entered the valley and never left it or never leave it? The death of a friend or a loved one, difficult to get over. And sometimes we grieve for a long period of time. A failed or a strained relationship. A financial crisis. Health challenges like pandemic. These experiences can make life seem like a dark valley. Some enter the valley and stay there. Let me suggest, if you don't learn in a valley, you can become bitter. And let the experience keep you from moving on or from moving through. They say things like, if this is the best God can do, then forget about it. I just won't believe anymore. I just won't follow God anymore. I'll just stay here and nurse and rehearse my anger and my pain. I'm better off on my own. I confess, I will not, I cannot pretend even for a minute that the valley is not dark. The valley is difficult. I will not pretend, even for a minute, that I have a quick and easy answer to the question, why must this happen to me now? I can only say it happens to us all. We all walk through the valley of the shadow, but is it not that the real question is, how am I going to make it through the valley? Is it not the real question that how will I survive with this vacancy, with this shortage in my life, with this emptiness in my life right now? We sometimes allow ourselves to get bogged down by or with the question, why? Why now? Why me? Why this? Why that? Why here? Why him? Why her? Why does my loved one have to die? Why do I have to lose? Why do I need? Why must I lose my job? Why now? Why does a meaningful relationship in my life go bad so fast? And we may never know how to answer the question why. But we can know how to answer the question how. How then should I respond? Can't always explain all the this's and that's of pandemic. Homeland terrorism. Racial injustice. You know, conspiracy theories. Sociopathic government. Educational challenges for our children. Unemployment. Homeless population constantly on the increase. But we can use these same situations, these same valley experiences to demonstrate the love of God and the sweet compassion of Jesus. We may not always understand why we must pass through the valley we're passing through today, right now. But we can use the valley to lead us to higher ground in our private and personal lives. We can use the valley to draw nearer, to God. Let's take a commercial break on this issue of shadows. Shadows are always bigger than reality. A person 5 feet tall can cast a 10-foot shadow. Are you listening? Which signals that our fear of the problem is always greater than the problem itself. Not only are shadows always greater than reality, but they cannot hurt you. Shadows cannot hurt, cannot harm. Maybe I should say harm you. There's a difference, beloved, by being run over by a truck and being run over by the shadow of a truck. Hello? A shadow is an image without substance. So shadows can scare us, but they don't have to harm us. No shadow is without light somewhere. The light of God will never disappear from your life. Don't look at the shadow, church. Look instead at the light. And the shadow will fall behind you. I will fear no evil, he says, for you are with me. It took me a long time to learn, and I'm still learning, that fear is a choice. I confess again, I have always thought that fear was just an emotion over which we have no control. And yet, the word of God tells us, fear not, do not be afraid, 365 times. One for every day of the year. Constantly reminding us not to be afraid. More than once, Jesus said, do not be afraid, just believe. So when David says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, David is talking about the same thing. David is saying, I choose not to be afraid. And listen, I'm not just preaching here. I have a feel, I have a sense for the valleys you're going through. David chooses not to be afraid and chooses rather to believe. Notice the pronoun change. In verses 1 through 3, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down. He leads me. But in verse 4, the pronoun changes to you. Did you see that? In verses 1 through 3, he's talking about the shepherd. But in verse 4, he begins to talk to. Lord have mercy. Right here, lies the key. The secret to getting through the valley. Are you ready for this? Get personal in your relationship with God. Get personal in your relationship with God. No matter where you go, no matter what you got to go through, God is with you. I said, God is with you. I said, God is with you. God is with you. And when God is with you, you truly have no reason at all to choose fear. Absolutely none. We have his presence in our pain. We have his love in our loss. We have his patience in spite of our complaints. And through difficulty, adversity, and hardship, he may strip us of our pride. He'll renew our passion and our devotion for him. He'll refine and purify our character and our motives. Should you and I be afraid of a shadow when God is with us? He's not over there somewhere outside the valley watching over us, church. He is with us in and through the valley. What you and I need to do is not to choose fear, but to choose courage. Well, preacher, what kind of courage you talking about? What kind of courage does a sheep need? I'm glad you asked. A sheep does not need courage to fight its enemies. Are you listening? The bravest sheep in the world would still be an easy victim of the smallest wolf or mountain lion. What a sheep needs is courage to trust the shepherd. I said, I said, what a sheep need is courage to trust the shepherd. When sheep look up and see a predator on the stalk, it looks up at the shepherd nearby, and then it goes back to grazing. That takes courage. Can I preach a little bit? What kind of courage does a disciple need? We don't need courage to fight our own spiritual battles, church. We have an enemy who is not flesh and blood. We have an enemy we can't touch or see. He is an enemy who will destroy us if and whenever he could. What kind of courage does a Christian need? We need courage to trust our shepherd. We need courage to trust our shepherd. When we know our shepherd is nearby, we simply entrust ourselves to him and go back to grazing again. And that takes courage. So what threatening shadows lie across your path today? We have some in common, don't we? What dangers, ask yourself, what dangers are you facing today? And allow me to share with you that your shepherd, that our shepherd, knows them all. And when we trust ourselves to him, you and me, we can have courage. Hear well, beloved, the word of God, this word of God, afresh again. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Are you listening? Listen afresh now. I know you heard it and read. Listen afresh. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank God for all he has already done. For all he has already done. Then you will experience God's peace, which excels or exceeds anything you can understand. It passes understanding. His peace will guard, will protect, will fortressify your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. What a right now Rhema word. Let me see if I can help you just a bit further. There was a mother and a small son traveling from Chicago to California by train. And as small boys do, he got restless. So he got up from his seat, ran to the end of the car, got a drink of water, and came back to sit by his mother. A few minutes later, he gets up. He runs back again to the end of the car, gets a drink of water, comes back, sits by his mother. And this keeps happening every few minutes at a time. On this one return back to his mother, there was a woman sitting across the aisle from her. And she called the young boy and said, "That's a lovely sailor suit you have on." The boy begins to explain gleefully, "My mother made it. She sewed on buttons. Look at these buttons. She put stripes on my sleeves. Look at these stripes. She even put a buckle on my pants." Right about that time, the train is plunged into a tunnel and surrendered or submerged, surrounded by darkness. The little boy left the woman immediately, scooted across the aisle, threw his arms around his mother's legs and said, "Mommy, mommy, you're here. And I'm not scared, am I?" You see, it was one thing to talk about his mother while the train was in the sunshine. But in the darkness, he no longer talked about his mama. He talked to his mama. If you are and I are going through a valley right now, beloved, let's take hold. Let's lean into the everlasting arms of our shepherd and say and talk to him, "You are here with me. I am not afraid. I'm not afraid." And the reason why I am not afraid is because you are here. You're right here with me. You're right here. You're right here. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." In David's day, shepherds carried two things with them during these long journeys with their flocks. They always carried a rod and a staff. Each one had its own use, but both of them symbolized the power of God. The rod was a wooden club about 2 feet long and was used to protect and to defend the flock against attacking animals. It had a round head, usually whittled from the nut of a tree bark, into which the shepherd pounded sharp bits of steel and or stone. Help me read a passage that highlights this in 1 Samuel. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to wait on you. 1 Samuel chapter 17. beginning at verse 34. Are you there, Danny? First Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. First Samuel 17. Yeah. It reads what? Well, let me read with you, right? Okay. Read. And club it. One verse said, and club it with the rod. One version says. So we see here that the rod was really not just a tool, it was a weapon that the shepherd used to defend and to protect his flock. The shepherd also used a staff, a long, slender stick with a hook at the end of it. With the staff, the shepherd restrained sheep from straying. Oh my goodness. He would hook their legs, or he would hook their chest and pull the sheep out of holes and of pits into which they would have stumbled and fell into. The staff rescued the sheep. He would use the staff to beat back high grass, to drive out serpents who were coiled up, poised and waiting to strike the sheep. He would use the staff to pull back, to clear away branches when a sheep was tangled in a thicket. The sheep takes comfort from the shepherd's power. I said the sheep takes comfort from the shepherd's power. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Comfort, beloved, means strength. I said comfort means strength. We have diluted. We have watered down the concept of comfort so that it has become just a nice sounding phrase. We say things like, cheer up, things will get better, to comfort someone. We've got nothing but words to smooth and to quiet and to calm. But God offers his people more than a handkerchief to dry our tears. God offers us his power, his might. David's shepherd and our shepherd is as tender as he is powerful. He's the most self-obligated being in the universe. He cannot use his power outside of his love. Just as he cannot exercise his holiness apart from his grace. God's might is at the service of his heart. And because of this, the enemies of the shepherd may fear the rod and the staff, but the sheep, not the sheep. The sheep get comfort from them. Because they know that the rod and the staff will be used only in their defense and in their rescue. God got us. God got me. I know there's a pandemic outside. I know who's in the White House. But in the Lord's house, God got us. God got you, and God got me, and God got us all. And besides, how much comfort would it give you and I if our whys were answered? Think with me. I'm closing in a minute. How much comfort would it give if God answered our questions? Why did my loved one contract COVID-19 and left me? Why is there such evil in government? Why are so many lost and without hope? Why are so many hungry when there is balm in Gilead? Why is there no healing for the wounds of my people? If God just gave us answers for our bruising questions, how much comfort would that give you and me? A child is not comforted by being told why his or her toy broke. A child is not comforted when he bruises his knee while riding his or her bicycle. A child is not comforted when you sit down and explain to them why you have to go to school or why you have to go to church for that matter. The child is comforted by knowing that the parents love them. I'm preaching now. The child is comforted when the child knows that the parents love them. And they believe that their parents can do something about their hurts and their habits and their hang-ups. From the shepherd's rod and staff, you and I get comfort. And not only for ourselves, but for others. Protection, direction. Let's read. Danny, come with me to Isaiah 43. Come on, Danny. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Come on, just read when you get there. Verse 2. Let me read with you, Danny. I know it's Old Testament, but it's just as relevant right now. When you pass through the waters, read, Danny. I will be with you. Read. When you go through the rivers. Okay, one version says, when you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. That's the shepherd talking. Yo, I'm getting my glad attack. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, There you will not drown. That's your shepherd talking to you. That's my shepherd talking to me. He's talking to you and me. Read, Danny. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you won't get burned. No, you didn't hear that. Read it again, Danny. Read that part again, Danny. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not get scorched. Read, Danny. The flame will not consume you. The flame will not consume you. What else, Danny? For I am the Lord, your God, my God, your God, our shepherd, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I got one more verse. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust. We already know this. You don't have to turn there. Trust. I ought to have one of you quote it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways. Can't you see, church? In all of our ways, acknowledge God and He will direct. He'll cut a path. He'll make a way. I'm telling you again, our shepherd is a way maker. Sheep need comfort. Sheep need comfort to choose courage instead of fear, to trust themselves to the shepherd. Whether we're in the valley or whether we're in the mountaintop. And just to help you kind of get a glimpse of the difference, the mountaintop are those moments when you appreciate what you have in Christ. The valleys are the moments when you long for what's missing in your life right now. As one of God's sheep, then, you can be sure that His rod and His staff, the Word of God, and His Holy Spirit will comfort you in your journey through life. They will correct, they will direct, they will protect you. Even when you're going through the valley of the shadow, you can know that God is right there with you. Here then is your assignment. In our last lesson, your assignment was a breath prayer. Inhale, your will be done, Lord. Exhale, my will be gone. Your assignment this week is to remember how David used the personal pronoun you in Psalm 23 and verse 4. And each day this week, I want you to latch on to it. Get a grip on the phrase, you are with me. Grab it, latch onto it, and don't let it go. Say it throughout each day this week. And remember, each time you say it, beloved, the statement is true. You didn't see? You didn't hear me. Remember, each time you say it, it's true. You really are not alone. You're not alone. I know it feels like that sometimes. The devil is a liar. You are not alone. Wherever you are, God is literally right there with you. Remind yourself as much as often as you can, every day this week, repeat to yourself, you are with me. You are with me. You are with me, because you know that the statement is true. It takes a moment or two to focus on the presence of God. And then you experience his presence in your life. Greater, greater is he that is in you. That is in you than he that is in the world. I confess to our prayer team this morning that I'm preaching to myself. And we pray that the church would eavesdrop. Forgive my selfish agenda, if you want to call it that. But this passage adds to, it compounds what we are striving to, what God is calling this church to. A surrendered life. A surrendered life. You are with me. You are with me. You are with me. So I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The testimony is that it will build you up, and it will give you an inheritance among them who are sanctified. And if you're here today and you need to respond, you're not trying to put nobody on the spot and all that, and you know, and I know sometimes we think I gotta extend the 5-step invitation and all of that. I'm simply saying to you, when the word of God is declared in its purity, things happen. Great things happen. Rocks cry out. If there is a response in your heart, that you must make in response to the preaching of the word of God, then let your request be and your response be made known. One thing I know, this new Maywood Church family. We are waiting to pray with you and for you right now. So if there be a response that you need to make, that the Lord put in your heart to make, we pray that you'll have the courage to do it right now. Do it right now. Having the assurance that God is with you, we wait for you.